Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Joining me today is Megan Sostre. Megan and her husband Felipe are from the Capital Region. They are adoptive and foster family with their blended family with three children. Danye and Rebecca are both 19-year-old. And they have one biological son, Josiah, who is 13 years old, right? And two daughters adopted through foster care. Isabel is 9 and Liliana is 7. Okay, made it.
Very good.
Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and giving me this opportunity to share our story.
Thank you for being willing to share your story. As I mentioned, you and Felipe have a blended family before you adopted the girls. So what led you to consider fostering or adopting?
Well, that question for me is, it was really a lifetime of desire. I think it was really birthed out of my own childhood experiences, single family. My mother worked all the time. And so very young, I remember always wanting to help other children that I felt were neglected or lonely. And so I remember at the age of 7 and 8 telling my mother I was going to adopt all my kids. And so so it was always in me. And when my husband and I got engaged, before we were engaged, we had already discussed that this was something, I shared my heart with him. And it was really amazing because he was open. I never had to talk him into it.
Wow.
Or convince him that this is, so I knew right away that God was going to do some great things.
Oh, wonderful. So initially, you looked into international adoption first.
Yes.
Correct? What happened there?
Yes. So actually, when we got married, I was 25, and we wanted to adopt from China. So I waited until I was 30. This was our plan. And so I turned 30 years old within, I think it was even that week I mailed out our pre-application. And
because being 30 was one of the requirements,
yes,
correct,
that's
for
right.
China?
Yes, for China, you have to be 30 years old to be considered as a family. So basically, we sent out our pre-application, and it was quickly rejected because of finance. Basically, you have to have $80,000 net worth, and our BMI was slightly above 40. And I mean slightly, like 41 and 42. So that's another one of the requirements. They have a lot of different, every country we learned has a lot of different requirements and stipulations that you have to meet. So we really just felt like the door just closed. And so we quickly said, why don't we see what other options we have?
So that's when you began looking into foster care.
Yes. And I had actually worked in a juvenile placement center before I got married. And so I was aware a lot more of the foster care system than my husband was. But I also knew that to be considered a pre-adoptive home, you have to be also foster. You have to take the foster parenting classes.
Correct.
So I said, why don't we just do it? So this was August of 07 that we, the doors kind of closed on China. And we said, let's look into our county. And we went through Northeast and started the classes September of 07. And it was just really meant to be. We loved every minute of it.
So you started the classes in September.
Yep.
And when did you finish? What happened next?
November 27th was our home study, and we had already completed all our paperwork. And November 29th, we got the phone call for two little girls.
Wow.
Yeah, 4-year-old and 18-month-old at the time.
Wow. And there was possibly another one on the way.
Yes, mom was pregnant. And so I was secretly praying that this was going to be my baby.
Wow. So tell us a little bit, can you share a little bit about the children who came into your home and what happened there?
Sure. So we got the phone call for two girls, a four-year-old and an 18-month-old. They were siblings, and it was really very sad how badly they were neglected. And so that was a big, you know, you prepare for this mm-hmm. and you want to do it. And then when they come, you really feel, for me, so blessed to have the opportunity to really care for these children. So they were brought to my home. I got a phone call within an hour. They were at my door.
Wow.
They literally handed me my daughter Isabel with gloves on. The social workers did. She had just come out of the hospital. She had MRSA in her leg, so she had surgery. It was like down to the bone, so it was packed. And then they both came with, you know, a lot of physical things that needed healing, skin infections and stuff. But I can tell you, it was pretty amazing how quickly, when children are provided love and stability, that they really do come around. And so that happened very quickly. We had been preparing our children the whole time, our biological children. So they were involved in the journey from when we started the classes. But we really were planning, okay, January, you know, well, after Christmas time.
Right.
And we thought we would really adopt one girl. That's what our hope was. So then we got two, and the oldest had actually just disclosed some trauma, some sexual abuse. And so that began a different kind of situation, because when mom gave birth to the baby was then placed with me. And because there was a high level of care needed for the eldest child, she ended up having to go to a home with no other children. Excuse me. Mainly to get the therapy and the help that she needed and the supervision, because now I had a lot of children. And that was very hard for me, because I didn't want to see that happen. But we still have a good relationship with her and see her. And really, that's what she needed. She needed that time with just her for healing and without all the extra distractions. And so I ended up in February of 07. They called me for the baby. Mm-hmm. She was born January 27th, and she was placed with me at 12 days old when CPS found that that she was abandoned at 5 days old. Mm-hmm. So they picked her up in Amsterdam at some house. And so that was quite exciting for me. My husband was a little thrown off, because I didn't actually ask him. I just said yes when they called. So, you know, he wasn't mad, but he was like, what? You know, like, we're getting an infant.
Yeah.
And so they literally bring them to you within an hour.
Right.
And when she came, she was in nothing but a diaper. It was February with a blanket around her, because the caregivers were obviously not fit, which is why she was removed. And this was by a mom's pattern. Mm-hmm. She would just leave them with unfit caregivers. So that was very shocking to me, that they took the clothes off the baby and said, "You're not taking her with any clothes." So that just gives you an idea that they really didn't care about the baby.
Right.
Because it was winter. And so she came with just a diaper. And so that was the beginning of...
Wow. So now that was... So you adopted both of these little girls, correct?
Yes.
The older girl went on to be with another family
and
was adopted there and has come to some great healing through that process. And then you adopted Liliana.
Yep.
Right?
Liliana.
And Isabel.
Yes.
And they are now 9 and 7.
Yes. Yeah.
How are they doing?
They're doing wonderful. It's been a long journey, in a sense that... I don't know if I want to say long. It's not a long journey. It was a challenging journey at times, partly because to really grasp the depth of their brokenness, even in the womb, I had to you know, facing their reality, I had to face a lot of my reality. Mm. Isabel had a reactive attachment disorder, and so it took her 4 years to bond to us.
Mm.
And that is a very, it can be exhausting mm-hmm. because as much as you try to love them, they don't ever respond the way normal right. children do. They really push you away. They actually do more to for you to reject them because that's right. what she learned.
That's
she,
right.
So she never bonded. And so that was a really huge growing period for me to learn how to love a child that didn't receive it.
Hmm.
Or in my mind, in my heart, the way right. I know love, she right. didn't receive it. And so they both were exposed to alcohol in utero. But I was pretty aggressive at getting them early intervention.
Mm, good.
So both of them, by the time they were 3 years old, were in special ed programs just because it wasn't physically, developmentally, they were fine. It was neurologically.
Mm.
And so they've come a long way,
mm.
a long way. Though we still do have our challenges, but they're secure and stable, and they bring us so much joy.
Oh, wonderful. So throughout this time, did you also continue to foster, or are you currently fostering?
Well, actually, last month, we did not recert. That was 9 years was last month, partly because we had so much on our plate. Last month, we had just recently taken in, I don't know,
we're going to get to that.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why, but that's partly why we had a lot going on in November and our research was right in the middle. And so we just said, you know what, right now we're just going to take a break. But we did foster for 9 years. We did, I think probably over the past 9 years, we've had, oh my goodness, over 30 kids.
Wow.
You know, some of them were just a few months, some of them were, you know, a couple weeks. And we have a lot of really good memories and a lot of really sad memories, but still the opportunity, and that's really how we began to look at it, is that God is providing us this opportunity, whether it's a short time or a long time, to love these children.
That's right.
And that's really how I just began to look at it. Even with my daughters, they didn't get freed for adoption for almost 3.5 years.
Mm.
And so I had to face that.
They might not
right.
come into your home permanently.
So that actually enlarged me, my soul, in a way that, you know, grief and loss has a way of enlarging your soul in a way that you just can't really make happen.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. JFO is an all-volunteer-run nonprofit based here in the Capital Region. You can visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director and Co-Founder of JFO, and joining me today is Megan Sostra from right here in the Capital Region. Megan and her husband, Felipe, have a blended family of 3 biological children and 2 daughters adopted mm-hmm. through foster care. And recently, 2 more little girls have come into your home. Can you tell us about 12-year-old Caitlin and 9-year-old Cassandra? How did they come to you?
Yes. Well, they are actually my husband's second nieces. So about 2.5 years ago, we learned of his niece was in a pretty severe domestic violence situation down in New York City. We had no idea where she was, though. And so at the time, we were in a small group, and it was a good year that we prayed for them faithfully every week. And the other reason, too, that it was, we felt that it was so urgent that we find them is because their father had just passed away. And the mom, I don't think, really knew how to deal with her husband passing. And so she left him early, and it was pretty sad. But they showed up at my mother-in-law's door February of 2014. Mom had been pretty severely beaten, pretty horrific experiences that they had been living. So once we learned they showed up there, we, in like within 2 to 3 days, went down and brought them up here. Went through all the got her into a great shelter, got her into great therapy. But what I learned is that that's a whole different understanding domestic violence is a very complicated thing, and it taught me a lot. But what we learned is that the girls had been homeless for 2.5 years before we even, before we picked them up. And so
they'd been living in shelters and that kind of thing?
Going from one shelter to another.
New York City.
Yes. Yeah. And so it was clear that these girls likely should not really return. For whatever reason, at this point, Mom just couldn't take care of her kids. She loves her girls. You can tell. And she is a good mom. But, something, I think there's the emotional trauma sometimes people experience is, they freeze. Mm-hmm. And she's a really, like I said, she does love her girls and she does still see them. But so after over a year, we then looked into other ways to take care of them, because at this time they were placed with us in foster care. Mm. We did not want to do kinship care because we'd already done a lot as a family for mm-hmm. her, and so we really at this point needed to take a step back and really be focused just on the children.
Sure. So did they come into foster care, the girls?
Yes.
They did.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. We ended up having to get Child Protective Services involved at one point because we knew Mom was considering having the boyfriend come up with her. And this was a pretty scary thought. And so once we got CPS involved, we quickly found out about a 6-year restraining order from the Bronx. And so once he came around, they were removed immediately and put with us. And so it was July of 2014.
Wow.
So that began a new journey. They had never grieved mm-hmm. the loss of their father. So we got immediately connected with hospice. And they went through Wave Riders, and they went to Camp Aaron. And that was very, very intense, but probably one of the most therapeutic things mm-hmm. for them was to embrace the memories of their father, mm-hmm. to really learn how to grieve, because mm-hmm. they never had a funeral. There was nothing. There was no
closure.
And the 9-year-old didn't even realize he wasn't coming back.
Uh-huh.
She didn't get that part. So that was really tremendous for them. And and then, of course, they have a love for the Lord.
Mm.
It is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Every night they wanted to read the Bible. Like the first 3 months they were with us, every night they wanted to read the Bible and read devotionals. And they're still like that. They're very involved at the church. And So, they became permanent November 4th through the Kin Gap Law.
So can you explain what the Kin Gap Law is?
Yes, I will do my best. It's new law, so it's everybody is still learning about it in DSS and in the courts. Kinship care is when children are placed in a foster home with family. The Kin Gap is when the family, that is the foster parents, if they've had the family members for over 6 months, there's been the first permanency hearing has passed, the family can apply for what's called petition for kin gap care. So this gives the family now an opportunity to have permanent guardianship of the children. So it's not an adoption. We're not changing their name, though. We could, we're just not, because it's their father's name. But so this allows Mom to have a relationship with them still. They do have visits, every other week. But we get the same support as well as if they were still in foster care. It changed slightly, but they go on my husband's medical insurance now. So it's very... The main difference is that it's guardianship, and it is permanent unless I believe it is permanent. That's the only thing I'm a little unsure about, that if mom can, you know, at some point say, you know, I want to petition for them back. I don't believe she can. That's the main difference. It's not custody.
Okay. So it's guardianship.
Yes.
Now, is it, do you have the opportunity down the road where it could turn into adoption?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. If that's something that the children, you know, desire, yeah.
You would do that. You and Felipe would adopt them as your own.
Yeah. And honestly, that's the way we really do word it in the family. You know, it's still a new transition.
Yeah.
You know, and we're trying to find the best way for our children to embrace them now as a permanent fixture.
Yeah.
In the home without making Cassandra and Caitlin feel like they're not still part of their mom. Mm. Because that's really the only parent they have left.
Right.
And so we're very sensitive to that.
Yeah.
Because it's really, and that's the one thing too, is that we have learned that no matter what, these kids, they want to know and love their biological family, their parents.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a very, very important piece when you foster or adopt, that you realize that this is a part of who they are, and that by not facing it,
right,
and not in being in denial as the adoptive parent, that you can just fill that void, and that connection that they feel is going to disappear. It's not true.
Right.
They need to just be allowed,
yes,
I think, to embrace who they are, so that they can embrace you.
Right.
You know. So.
And how are they adjusting?
Wonderfully. They have come so far. One of the things that my husband and I really have been amazed about, they have, of all the foster kids that we've had, and we've had some pretty serious cases at times of neglect and trauma, these girls absolutely experienced the worst trauma that we've ever seen in children. And in the past year, it's really just miraculous. I can't even, both my husband and I, we look back 8-10 months ago where we were at and the level of care that was required at that time. But really, you know, as a couple and as a family that fosters and adopts, you prioritize the children that are at the top of the list at times. Not that you neglect the other ones, but it's the way I look at it, it's kind of like a baseball field. Mm-hmm. Okay, who's up now?
Right.
So,
good analogy.
But that allowed me to give them that intensive care that they needed the first 6 months with the therapy and the hospice, and they're doing amazing.
Wonderful. So, Megan, what would you say to our listeners who might be considering adoption or becoming foster parents?
I would say it is the greatest opportunity, and to have in learning how to love deeply. I would mention the willingness to enlarge your soul through grief and loss. Adoption fostering is not like an Annie story. Many people think that you will bring a child in your home and your Christian virtues will bless them and the child will be filled with gratitude and forever love you in return. The reality is that these children did not ask to be put into foster care system or up for adoption. These are children. They come from a broken situation and are put into a broken system. Then with little notice, they're brought to you. You cannot make a meaningful connection with these kids if you are not fully aware of your own brokenness. Mother Teresa said, "I have found the paradox that if you love until it hurts, there can be no more hurt, only one more love." Only more love. And I think, just to add to that a little bit, families often say to me, or couples, I could never do it. I could never do it. To have to maybe give them back. I just could never do it. And I get that, because there was times that I had to really face this baby I had at 12 days old that I may have to now give her back at a year and a half. Even though it didn't happen, there's still that likelihood or a possibility, not likelihood, excuse me, that it's actually more likely that they unfortunately don't go home. But I remember always thinking that people, you know, would say this to me, and the way I began to really embrace this is whatever opportunity I have to love them, I wanted to love them fully. And if it meant that it was only for a short time, then that's what God has called me to. Mm-hmm. And that's really how I believe that the families in the church, and whether they're going to adopt or not, or just foster, or that they can do something, which is even just supporting the families that are fostering and adopting.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask you, actually, is as Christians, how do you think the church can get involved in caring for the fatherless?
Ephesians 1:5 says that God predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. According to the purpose of his will, we are all adopted. Caring for the fatherless is living out what God has done inside of us. If you can't foster or adopt, you can support the families in your church who do by providing respite, even if it's for a few hours, so that couples can get a break or maybe even go on a date. No one should do nothing, because everybody can do something.
All excellent points. So, Megan, I want to thank you for joining us today. And we'd hoped that Felipe could be here with us, but you shared some of his thoughts that he'd written down. So thank you for that. And I also want to thank our listeners as well. If you'd like to learn more about adoption or foster care, or if you'd like to contact me, Sandra Flack, at Justice for Orphans, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. And we want to hear from you. What do you think of this show? Have you attended any of our events? Have you begun foster parenting classes? Are you currently fostering? Are you in the process to adopt? We would love to hear from you. Contact us through the website and let us know how you are walking out James 1:27. And again, that's justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.